All right, welcome back, everybody. Here we are again. It's the Dom and Colin podcast, back with you after episode 2 of The Challenge, War of the Worlds 2. I am Colin, here with you as usual, alongside the always fascinating Dom. Dom, how are you doing?
I'm good. Glad to be back on the podcast for the first time in what might be years. Excited. I've been keeping up with the challenge ever since we talked to Steven, and glad to talk about this new season.
Yeah, so exciting to have you here in the challenge world, Dom. There's a lot of stuff going on, so excited that you can rip yourself from all the international survivors to join us. Got you guys. No, we're not Dom and Colin. Isn't that crazy? No, that is kind of crazy because this is was it established that this is going to be the first ever podcast on the Dom and Colin podcast network that does not have Colin Stone or Dom Harvey?
It was first ever without either of the duo.
That's crazy. So I don't know why they agreed to this. I still think they're probably questioning it. I'm still nervous that we have no idea what we're doing, especially I'm like terrified, as I told you earlier, that the call is not even going to be recorded, even though I think we're recording it in like 300 different places right now. But either way, very excited to be here talking about episode 2 of this season. It's off to an interesting start. I think I'm enjoying it so far, but obviously it's still early. So I don't know if you've had any different thoughts since episode 1.
No, I'm definitely still enjoying it. I mean, seeing the Team US win, you know, back-to-back challenges is a little concerning. I think we all had shared the same concern going in. I am hoping to see Team UK pull one out to, you know, renew my faith in them, but I'm still feeling good.
Right. So I'm feeling pretty similar. I want to get a start with a couple of headlines here, just because it didn't really have a whole lot to do with most of the rest of the episode, but we started this episode with three more challengers than we're finishing with. We had two people unceremoniously, is that the word? I don't know if I said that.
Yeah, you're right. You're good.
Okay, good. Leave the show. Two people left. First, we lost Zahida, who it seems like there was a death in her family. Of course, very upset to hear that. And sorry that it knocked her out of the season, but I'm glad she was able to, you know, get home, and obviously family first. So good on her for leaving and making sure she was there with her family. And then we also lost Faith. In a very strange exit. We saw some of that on the show with whatever the heck was going on there with, you know, people were waking her up. It seemed like there might be more to the story, that there's some speculation going on along with some social media news that kind of came out. We are down two extra people that I don't think anyone expected to be down this early.
Yeah, not to skip so far ahead, but I am upset about all three people we lost tonight. Not to say that I wanted a different outcome in the elimination, but especially the two that went home outside of the elimination, I was pretty excited to see them back. They're both people that I was not 100% sure were going to be back in any capacity, and was very excited to see that MTV did not forget about them, and come to find out that they get their second chance and leave in the same episode with getting basically zero airtime on the first for either of them also.
Right. So, I mean, last time that we talked last week, I'm pretty sure I dropped the Zahida who kind of comment, because she wasn't even in the first episode. Last season, she was pretty much a non-factor. She was there with Zach and got dragged down because Zach wanted to go home. Disappointing that I guess she can't really get on her feet in terms of her challenge career. And Faith, I mean, Faith had a pretty good start. Her and Angela looked like they had a lot of promise in their rookie season 2 seasons ago. And I was very excited to see her back here. I thought that there was, you know, I thought she would slip under the radar for a little bit. I thought that she would be somebody that, you know, she wasn't an obvious power player, but I didn't think that she would be somebody who would get thrown in super early. At the end of the day, we're going to lose her, which I guess we might as well just get into it right now. There was an announcement on Faith's Instagram page the other day that you actually sent me. Faith is expecting a child.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So I know that some people are questioning the timeline of everything. I'm not as clear on when they were filming, so if that would have potentially impacted, I'm assuming that she probably wouldn't have even known if she was pregnant at the time. I don't know that that was the case, obviously, but happy for Faith. Sad we'll probably never get her on another challenge, but seeing how this one turned out, I don't expect that we would have anyway.
Yeah. I'm like the worst reality TV fan, most selfish reality TV fan, because like, all these people should be moving forward in their lives and starting families and advancing their careers. But anytime I see them post some kind of positive news for themselves, I'm like, oh, come on. Like, you kidding me? Like, I want to see you on my show and you want to go like have a kid. Are you kidding me? That's so selfish. But no, honestly, you know, happy for her. I mean, those feelings were even stronger when I saw that Amanda was expecting, and I was devastated that we wouldn't see her back anytime soon, but whatever. Happy for both of them. I was following the timeline of filming as it was going on, and I don't know for certain, of course, but it does seem like the timing might make sense that she might have found out very soon into filming. This started in June. Filming started in June, like I think middle of June, and finished in like early August. So if she's announcing it now, I mean, you could assume she's like 3 or 4 months into the pregnancy. I have no idea. But it could have been something that had to do, you know, something that played into why she left. Also, there was a couple tweets from her, and I saw one from Pauly that was saying like, oh, she left over a couple of loud noises at night. That doesn't seem about, you know, that doesn't seem right. So it does seem like there might have been more to whatever was going on there.
Yeah, I think that probably has to do more with, because I know that Faith herself has tweeted a little bit about how they were in her face and calling her names and things of that nature. Whereas with a pregnancy, I don't think you're finding out for, you know, the first 6 to 8 weeks, especially if you're not expecting it. So I don't know that it necessarily played a part, but like you said, I definitely think there were other factors leaning into this one.
Right. So, I mean, I guess we'll get into the whole fight with all the pots and pans later, you know, ripping off the Big Brother 19 Josh Martinez strategy of winning the game. But yeah, there was a lot going on there. So I guess we'll rewind a little bit, start back at the beginning of the episode. We had the conclusion to last week's episode where Idris won the elimination, sent home Sean, which I also wanted to get some closing thoughts in on Sean, because I don't think we really touched on this last week. I was really upset to see Sean go home early, just as I don't even know if we mentioned it, but Sean was the only gay male on this season, the only LGBT representative for the guys that I'm aware of. And to see him go home first was disappointing. I mean, the challenge has kind of been crappy in the past couple seasons anyway, with casting that spot, because, you know, it can only be one spot. Ever since, I think, like, Frank, we haven't really gotten a strong competitor. So, you know, we've gotten Jose, and all respect to the great Jose, but I want to see more. I think that there's so many more options out there that that we can go to. So sad to see Sean go early here. But we jump back in with Idris, who has the option of joining the U.S. team or sticking with the U.K. team. And he chooses to stick with the U.K. team, says it wasn't even an option, 100% going back home. So he made the right call there, right?
Yeah, no question. I don't know if we did not hear it last week, if they didn't say it, but I didn't realize the part of once you switch, you can't switch back. So you get a one time. It's way too early for anyone to be considering something. I mean, even if your own team is throwing you in, I don't know if I want to jump over and not have the option of switching back when things are just as bad over there, potentially.
Absolutely. I mean, the USA team looks strong as hell, and we've already said that 100 times. We'll say it 1,000 more. But there, it's not only too early, like in the game, but like you don't want to be that guy that, like, you, especially with the UK team, they're all like, they have so much pride in their country. They're here to like take over this US show. If they were jumping teams already, oh my god, they, like, their challenge career working with the people on the UK side would be over before it even started. So he had to have made the right call there, I would say. He picks up a couple points for his elimination win on your team, which I'm sure you were happy about. And we move on to back at the house. And so we're back at the house, and we see a team meeting between Team USA, which is led by Jordan. I talked a little bit last week about how I think that it seems like Wes might have met his match in the form of Jordan, who is back for another season. And Jordan did not waste any time calling Wes out this week.
Yeah, Jordan is even worse in terms of this stuff than I remember. Like, I always knew Jordan was cocky, arrogant, like whatever you want to say, but it has just really come out in spades in these first two episodes. I would say especially this one, where he, I guess maybe winning that solo win last time has, you know, put a little bit of confidence in him. He has no reservations about getting in as many fights as he feels like at any time.
Right. So what is it? Is he just, you know, I've been gone for so long and I have all this built up. Like, I want to play the game. I want to call people out. I want to, or is it just genuinely he wants to keep the team strong and he wants to, you know, make sure all eyes are on the person that is bringing the team down? I mean, it's probably a mixture of both, I guess, if you ask me, but it's early in the game and he is firing shots at Wes. This is what Wes did. Wes told Rogan about that we were going to put him in last week. And, you know, Wes is trying to fire back a little bit, but it's like, you know, he's already on the losing end of the battle. Like, he got caught and he's trying to kind of throw or pull Jordan under the bus with him. But there's really not a whole lot he can say at this point. He's been caught. You have Bananas over there in the corner saying like, oh, Wes is somebody that we shouldn't believe or whatever he's like saying. He's like, oh, tell me more. Like, I had no idea.
Yeah, this is, I actually thought that for knowing, like we said, Wes was not in a good position coming into the season with all of the moves that he was making last season, his general reputation for years and years and years, and being that most of his allies that he was talking on for other seasons and this season were the new players, which happens to be mostly people from the UK. So I think Wes was going to be screwed either way. I did think he actually made some good points in being like, Jordan's trying to call me out. I am not the only one who has had these talks. Jordan turned it around and tried to set up an ally for himself and succeeded. Maybe, who knows? So I thought in the position that he was in, really probably the best he could have done. But yeah, not going great for Wes here.
Yeah, not the best start, especially as I guess we could just talk about this now later in the episode after the challenge. You know, everybody saw Team USA goes on to win this challenge, and then Wes falls apart. He gets taken into a car for some medical treatment. He will return later in the episode. And according to what I saw on social media, it seems like he was legitimately sick. A couple of them were sick. They were talking about how some of the doctors out there are like, they were trying to give them medication, but like they could barely even communicate with them. I don't know if it was like the language thing or if it was just whatever was going on. There was a lot of medication being given out. A lot of people were really sick. Wes was one of them. So not the greatest start to the season for Wes, especially like you're just talking about, considering the position that he was in. So I guess we'll have to keep an eye on that going forward. It seems like the UK team is kind of not in the greatest start, to say the least, but if those guys, Joss and Rogan, are able to, you know, stay strong at the top of their team, and if they want to stay working with Wes, that could be a good thing, but hard to say. So who knows really what's going on there. So before we get to the challenge itself, we have a couple of more things going on back at the place where they're all living. Do we call that a house, the compound? I think they call it a compound, right?
Yeah, they'll use whatever term they feel like in the moment, really.
Right. So back at the compound, we still have Bear and Laurel getting together. This kind of reminds me of some of the scenes in like early on Survivor episodes where like one tribe is not relevant at the moment, but you still get like little storylines about them because eventually it will be relevant. That kind of feels like what's going on here. I don't know when we're going to get more to this, but there's got to be some more to the Bear and Laurel story that's going to be coming in the next few weeks.
Yeah, check in on Dee and Rogan, Laurel and Bear. Laurel and Bear definitely got the Lore segment this week. I like Nani pointing out that like Bear's not dumb. Like hooking up with the strongest like woman on the other side is not a bad decision. And knowing Bear's history, I definitely think there could be an element of strategy to this.
Yes, and Laurel proposes the question that well, I don't think anybody would argue that Bear is sexy, right? Like, probably like a couple people, but I don't know. I'm with her. I think that's not something that I would argue with Laurel about, but there's not much that I would argue with Laurel about. So we get that. We're also going to check in with some of the women on the UK team that are working out, and we get our first glimpse of Big T not looking so hot. Looks like she's the weakest link amongst the group. Esther's trying her best. Jenny's killing it, and she's like made from some kind of factory, and she's working alongside Georgia. But Big T, we're starting to see, is not really fitting in with the rest of the group.
Yeah, I need to see Jennifer versus Laurel, Jennifer versus Kara. Like, give me some matchup that is going to like pay off on having Jennifer here, because so far I haven't seen the personality pop. So I really want to see her in one of those eliminations. Being a Big T fan, especially by the end of the episode, was a little sad to see her get this little spike in screen time. But probably what surprised me the most, I know there was talk around it, like Georgia said, but she's like, I need to prove that like I'm not going to gas out, that like I'm not a quitter. And it seems like decently affected by all the talk around her, you know, like I said, gassing out in the final last season.
Yeah, I mean, this episode was focused around a couple different things, but like very specifically, besides Cam, which I'm sure we'll get to in a little bit, a lot about Georgia here. Obviously, she went into the elimination at the end of the episode, but we got a little bit of like catching up with Georgia. In the final last season, she kind of, you saw what happened. She went down and she was taken away in a van, probably got like one confessional about it. And then that was it. We moved on with our lives. So, you know, of course she's back for another shot here and we're kind of checking back in with her. And, you know, this is what she's telling us. She's like, I'm not a quitter. I'm going to keep trying. I'm here to try again. That wasn't, you know, what you saw last season at the very end. That's not who I am. So I'm trying to make it happen again. She's obviously running into a little bit of a trickier situation this season because not everybody is feeling her as a fellow game player as she might have hoped for. So we'll have to keep an eye on that as well going forward to see if Georgia is able to integrate herself back in the house, if she's able to win Kaylee back over, because I wouldn't really want Kaylee on my bad side considering Kaylee seems to be in a somewhat good spot so far. So we've got that going on there.
Yeah, but... Yeah, the thing, and what I would say about Georgia, and I feel like we probably talked about this last season, but it's been brought out that like, oh, the night before or two nights before her being a rookie, she was like, why isn't everyone partying really hard? We made it to the final. And it's like, well, that's why she gassed out, was because she went maybe a little too hard, you know, getting too excited about making the final, and then was pretty dehydrated that next day, tried to keep up with Turbo and Theo and everyone at the front. And just that's what happened to her. It wasn't a matter of Georgia doesn't have this endurance that was being talked about all along. It's that she maybe didn't go about it the right way.
Right. And as a tweet I saw this afternoon, actually, from the queen herself, Aika Wong, who's catching up with the challenge. She's talking all about how much she loves Georgia. I love Georgia as well. I think that Georgia is one of the best casting decisions that has been made on any show in a while. She's just maybe that was like a little far, but like at least for this show, like she is amazing television. She's great in the confessionals. She can obviously hang with a lot of them in the challenges. So if she's able to like not do that at the final again this season, if she's able to keep herself in check and follow the Turbo pre-final routine, I think, you know, she literally could be the full package. I don't see any reason why she can't win, whether it's this season or another season. I think that she's got everything to do well in terms of a entertainment perspective and a physical perspective on this show or whatever. I think she's great.
Yeah, I fully agree there. I do. I see her in the mold of, you know, the fan favorite characters, but who can actually back it up to a slightly higher degree, where I do think that she is a threat come end game. And like we saw tonight, she can, or, you know, this episode, she can really hold her own in elimination, even if it goes on for a very long time. So I agree that I am very, very enthusiastic about Georgia as a character on the challenge for a long time to come, hopefully.
I hope so. Agreed. So we're going to get into this challenge here, which I always find it funny when I listen to Brian and Allie over on the Wrap Ups and they try to explain what is going on in the challenge. And I know it's not an easy task, so I'm not expecting to have an easy time with it myself. But luckily this one was kind of easy to explain. There was a puzzle. There was jumping in the water to retrieve the buoys that had the pieces. And then at the very end, we had the two guys that were seated in this big launcher that were going to go in and go to solve the puzzle based on whatever the words or based on whatever the letters were that were uncovered by the rest of the team putting together the board. That wasn't the best explanation I could have given, but that's what you got. So we have obviously two teams going at it. We have Joss put up in the seat for the UK side, Jordan put up in the seat for the US side. And this challenge, not very close.
No, I don't know. Even if this did play out, like, I don't know how dynamic this is for TV in general, having like two waves of people swim out and then like a word puzzle. But it was fun enough. I mean, you got like the chair launch, and I like Georgia's comment about like, if Joss dies, we'll get on without him. So that like gave Georgia another shining moment. But this is where I did think the U.S. was stacked in terms of physical ability, but just experience wise came to play in spades this week. That's what makes me more nervous moving forward, is to see how quickly this team figured out like a hack to this challenge that Team UK didn't even copy once they saw what they were doing.
Yeah, these guys know what they're doing. They've been here before. They've seen these challenges before. They know the strategies to win. Within seconds, you saw all of them jumping in with their plans. You know, some people getting their ways more than others. It seemed like Jordan was kind of getting his message across while people like Laurel were kind of having a harder time getting two words in. But then you had on the other side where it was CT that was trying to give out the good advice because CT knows what he's talking about. He's been here before. And everybody else is kind of looking at him like, what are you saying? Like, you're talking what? So it wasn't going well over there. There was not much communication, and obviously it resulted in the U.S. team winning. So I don't know. Do you see what I see so far? It seems like Laurel is not really getting along well with everybody, or at least maybe her play style is not working or jiving well with her team. That's something I'm picking up on early here.
Yeah, I do see Laurel kind of falling in with the Jordan Tory side, however this plays out. I think Bananas actually may end up there if I'm looking at the overall team breakdown. But I think this team, like we've said, is full of such big personalities that basically anyone is going to have a hard time having their voice heard. And it was highlighted, like, everyone on this team is used to being a leader. And I don't know how many of the men on this team are really going to be giving Laurel or, unfortunately, really any of the other women on the team a chance to speak readily.
For sure. And we get a call back from over on the other side. We get a call back from D, who's not the best swimmer. So, you know, we're kind of wrapping up a couple of other storylines from last season while we're kind of working in the new ones from this season with Laurel and Jordan being back. So I think we're doing a decent job so far with a storytelling perspective. I feel like we've gotten to at least get a base knowledge of some of these newbies, I think, during the challenge. We also hear from Esther a little bit about how she's a single parent, which was like very randomly placed in here, but it was just showing, oh, look, here I am. I'm trying to do this for my daughter, whatever it is. So I think they're doing a good job with that so far. They obviously have a lot more time to play with these 90-minute episodes, which are a blessing. I'm so excited that we're getting more time. Hopefully Survivor picks up on that. I think we said this last week and, you know, is able to, at least for season 40, like, we need more time. There's even watching all of this, I feel like we're not getting, you know, everything that we need to know, but we need these 90-minute episodes. So I'm enjoying that so far. So I don't know. Any other takeaways from this challenge besides Turbo being, like, amazing and just acknowledging that he doesn't really speak English well, so he might as well just not play with the word puzzle?
Yeah, no, I love that, you know, when Turbo was in team challenges, pair challenges, whatever it was last season, he was really doing a lot of the work. So I like that he was able to sit back this time, let some other people do the hard work while he, you know, knew his strengths and got through it pretty easily. I thought it was interesting. We have Georgia, and I know it's just because she's close to Nicole, but she's like, Nicole is right next to me. She's going to be a strong challenger this season. And is she? that's a weird one to highlight. Like, I understand the conversations about how they're close and they'll be good allies, but I was just curious, like, flagging that up. Like, is Nicole going to go deep? Is she going to flop? Like, it was interesting, like, a interesting confessional for me.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we have to at least know who Nicole is, just because she's such an important part in the rest of the episode, just as like the position that she's in, you know, when we get to later on and it's just these two women who are being considered to go in to elimination. And then the person that they're trying to argue, well, why isn't she going in, is Nicole. If they didn't, I guess, set this up, everyone's like, who the heck is Nicole? Like, there's no Nicole. Is Nicole Zanata back? Is like, who is this? So I guess we're working on setting that up. But yeah, so the US team wins. I think I've said that six times by now. They spell out the word demise, which Bananas jokes is what's coming for the UK team here, which probably not that wrong about. And then TJ is going to ask them, all right, so time to form the tribunal. Who would like to be the speaker? So I think it was Leroy maybe that jumped in and he's like, all right, should we take a vote or whatever? And then within a couple more seconds, it seems like Cam just kind of sticks her hand up and says, you know what? I'll do it, in the same way that Jordan did it last week.
Yeah, like I said last week, I don't usually love this move from anyone. I definitely did not like it with Jordan last week, And at first, I didn't like it for Cam, but seeing how she utilized it, I don't know. I think Cam's going to be on people's radar eventually anyway, so I like that she used it to start building an alliance. I don't know if Colin's going to regret handing this over to us, considering I'm kind of excited about the Cam, Polly, and potentially Ashley trio. Definitely excited for, you know, Colin's girl to work with your boy, Polly. So I am excited to see where that goes.
Yeah, I totally agree that I think, you know, I am surprised to see that Cam is saying that she doesn't have alliances going into this season, because I thought she was set up. She came into last week talking to Kelly, like, I've got my side ready, you've got your side, like, we'll keep each other safe, like, no worries. And now she's here this week saying, I don't have any allies, so I need to build that up. So I don't know what happened in between there, or maybe I was just misunderstanding what she was saying last week. Maybe she was just saying we have a strong team, whatever. You know, that's Cam. I was talking about last week about how she's a really strong, she's a dominant strategic player. And I think we are definitely going to see that this season. It sounds like we're already getting, we're already getting some of that set up. So yeah, she pulls Polly in and she pulls Ashley in to the tribunal. Ashley's like even more excited because, she's even more alone than Cam is this season. She has none of her friends and, anybody that's willing to work with her, any kind of information that she can get at this point is, perfect. So yeah, we're going to head back to the house. We see Cam and Polly kind of working together, talking, strategizing, Cam saying, you know what? I have no one to be with, so why not work with Polly and Kara? And that's what happened last season, too. You come into these seasons and you're like, how are people going to keep letting Kara Maria dominate the challenge? How are they going to keep letting her get to every single final every season? And it's because of things like this. I mean, Kara is, at least so far, we see she's really not involved in a whole lot. So if you can have those two votes on your side and Kara has, you know, influence with some of her friends that she's been, you know, together with all these years, Polly probably doesn't have a whole lot. But if he can just keep us cool, not fight with Kyle, I see no reason why this would be a bad idea for Cam.
No, I completely agree. I also think that having an even larger target there in someone like Laurel, people like Jordan, really takes the shine off of Kara that may have otherwise been there. I definitely like the move from Cam. Always get a little nervous that she's going to play a little too hard too fast, but I like the instinct at least.
Yeah, and she kind of is. She's at least playing hard and fast, and she's not afraid to do so. She said multiple times in this episode, people are afraid to take big shots. People are afraid to make the power plays. I'm not afraid. I'm here to play a big game, and I'm ready to do whatever I need to do. Like, what's the point in playing scared? So good for her. I'm so excited to see that style of gameplay from Cam. Somebody who's not so excited to see that, Tori Deal, who we've not talked about a whole lot so far, but there was a very interesting dynamic, I thought, when Tori was in the Dirty 30 in season 30, and she killed that season just by playing like, that's too far.
I was going to say, there's an overstatement coming.
Yeah. She played very well under the radar by latching on to the power structures with Kara and Camilla in that season, and also sticking by Jenna and Kayla. So she was able to ride out kind of like a middle spot and make her way to the final. People were impressed with that. People were impressed with her as an overall challenge competitor, I think, or at least I was. I heard a lot of, you know, Tori's the rookie of the year. Enter Cam the following season in season 31, Vendettas, I think. And Cam completely shines. Everyone is obsessed with her. Colin falls in love from the second he sees her, as most of us did. And it felt like there was some kind of competition there between the two of them, the two rookie of the seasons coming in the next one. And it seemed like they could either join up and make some kind of power thing going on. But I didn't see that happening just because this is the new hot thing coming in, you know what I mean? So it feels like now we actually have them both here, and Tori's acknowledging that Cam is not the kind of player that she's trying to work with. So I don't know what's going to happen here, but there's something.
Yeah, that's a very interesting way to flag that up. I did not think of how they were both really, you know, rookies of the season back to back. I do like Tori a lot as a personality. I think she is decently strong as a competitor. I think she is slightly overrated, but we haven't had a large sample size to see, so I'm interested to see that play out. I do think that I'm excited in what we flagged, where I do think it's going to end up being more like Tori and Jordan, and we'll see if like Bananas, Laurel fall into there, and then kind of Cam organizing, would you say the outsiders, the other side, however you want to say, with Polly and Kara and Ashley, and we'll see whoever else falls over there. but I am excited to see this U.S. team go to war internally.
Ooh, go to War of the Worlds. Nice tie-in. So, yeah, so I don't know. I think Tori's going to have a lot on her hands if she's not feeling the Cam thing. Because over on the other side, you have somebody like Kaylee who's not feeling the Georgia thing. So before we get to the deliberation, we have Kaylee kind of filling in Cam, kind of getting in some other information just about how Georgia feels so comfortable. She feels untouchable. She feels like I was here last season, and I think what Kaylee said is she feels like her shit don't stink. So she's in her head, completely protected, not in any kind of danger anytime soon. And Cam's not really having that. So, not looking great for Georgia.
Yeah, I like this. I actually am almost more impressed. I don't know if it was fully her move or her intention, but you have Esther going up to Kaylee pretty early and being like, well, so here's what I heard, and like kind of planting that seed there for it to start spreading, which we didn't get to see at least Big T doing as much. So I'm impressed with Esther, you know, really trying to change the status quo when she knows her name is on the line. But Kaylee really is the one that takes it and spreads it around the house. As much as I don't love Kaylee for things that she's done on the show and things on the show and off the show, I am thinking this is probably a good decision because I don't know how well or not well connected Kaylee is on this team, having not been here for the last season.
Yeah, for sure. And this whole Georgia and Nicole thing has to be pretty intimidating, considering we're best friends. We've been best friends for years. We're both strong competitors. Like, I would not put it past Georgia to be like actually saying that to people around the house. Like, it seemed like she was pretty confident. Did we get a clip where she actually said I'm untouchable? Because she claimed to Cam that she didn't say that. I don't remember if we saw her saying that.
Yeah. See, I think this was that it was lost in communication when Esther goes through and she says like, oh, well, they said that basically like I'm protecting Nicole and like we're not going to touch her. Right. And then Kaylee, and maybe I misheard, maybe Kaylee misheard. But I thought that it was like, oh, basically Nicole is untouchable for this vote specifically. Mm-hmm. And then it gets to Kaylee and Kaylee goes around saying Georgia thinks she's untouchable. She's going to make it to the end and everyone else is working for her. And so the story definitely changes somewhat in there. I don't know to what extent, but she's definitely stirred up some drama there.
Yeah, Georgia didn't really handle that conversation super well with Big T, where she was telling like, just so you know, like, it seems like everyone's kind of thinking about putting you in. You know, it's a rookie thing, and Nicole's my best friend, so obviously I'm going to protect her. Like, what are you saying? What are you doing? What, like, you're telling her a lot of things you probably shouldn't say. And obviously, you know, if Big T's any kind of player, it seemed like Esther is more of the player that's helping Big T out with the work. You know, that information's going to get back to somebody, and it's not going to look too great for you. So, you know, Big T's not too happy. She finds out that she is the most likely person that's getting the votes here. She talks to Esther about it, and the two of them are obviously not happy because, hey, there's two other rookies over there, Jenny and Nicole, that are not getting talked about at all. So that's not great. But we're going to go into the deliberation here where you have the three from the tribunal, Paulie, Cam, and Ashley, that are going to sit in on the UK's meeting, which starts off led by Kyle. Kyle takes a page from the CT playbook and tries to be the dad, the mediator of everything going on and trying to just get everybody on the same page. It doesn't really go so well for him because he realizes maybe I should just keep my mouth shut. Maybe this isn't my kind of role. But it seems like the consensus has been pretty much built up that Big T is the one that's going in, but not everybody's on board with that. Not everybody.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting because you see Kyle, and maybe in real time he was not acknowledging it, but he seems to recognize that, like, I don't want to step up, and then proceeds to do exactly that for the whole beginning of this deliberation, especially considering it seemed like a lot of the men on the team were like, we'll leave it up to the women, like they can decide who should go in, etc. But that's where I think, especially if you're Kaylee and the men are not going to have a voice, and I think that some of her stronger allies are Joss and Rogan, that maybe that's why she needs to start stepping up now instead of fading into the background.
100%. And I mean, you see, even when the team walks away, when Big T is still left sitting at the table with the three in the tribunal, and they ask her, they want the tea from Big T. They want to know, who do you think is leading your team? And she says, well, you know, it's CT, but also kind of Kyle. So Kyle is not really hiding too well, you know, so far. It seems like he knows that this is the spot he's in. He's like, besides CT, he's definitely the most veteran player on that team. It's a bunch of rookies. Joss, who's had three seasons, Rogan's, you know, obviously just came back. So, I mean, Kyle's, I think, in his fourth season. So he's definitely the second longest tenured player on that side, which is insane when you look at the U.S. side. The amount of seasons collected on that side compared to the other side, it's incredible. It's so, I don't know how we got here, but nevertheless.
If Kyle was on the U.S. side, he'd be like Tory or like a fake. Yeah. Like he'd be one of the new people.
He'd be low on the poll of like.
Yeah. And, you know, he would be having to like, you know, suck up to Jordan in order to get it, you know, in a good spot. But it's a wild breakdown of these two teams. I do think it's funny how CT comes in and you would think being not from the UK, especially with how involved they are in each other's lives at these events. In terms of once they get off their show, you would think that CT would be a little bit of an outsider. So it's interesting to see that he has grabbed hold of his team so quickly.
For sure. And, you know, he's probably not all that invested in which of these rookies ends up going home. But it seems like if the consensus was building around the rest of the team that, all right, we're going to put in Big T, she's the weakest link or whatever. You know, he's not fighting it too much. So I guess he's fine with whatever decision gets made here. You know, it's Cam's the one who kind of steps up after Kaylee starts interjecting with the whole, you know, she throws Georgia under the bus, and then Cam is going to open up and say something to Georgia, and Georgia doesn't really take it too well. But CT's sitting at the end of the table. He's fine. He doesn't want to get involved.
Yeah, this is where I start to have an issue with what Kaylee does, though, is I like the move to be like, why are they not being even discussed? Because at least it's probably going to get their names thrown out there for the next couple votes. But you can see that everyone's like, okay, yeah, that's fine. We can vote for them. And then not one person, including Kaylee, does vote for either of these two. So obviously it's not like she went around gathering votes. She didn't really introduce this early enough, at least in this cycle, to get any kind of movement against these two other rookies.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll take this spot before we get too far away from it to say, really not the best episode. I mean, we've had this issue with many seasons of reality television, and notably as recently as Big Brother 21, just the issue of all of the people of color getting taken out like so early in the game. That picture of David, Ovi, and Kemi is just burned into my head, and probably a lot of other people's. It's just hard to unsee that, and people want to not talk about it. People want to pretend like it's not about that. People want to say, you know, it's just David was a bad player and Kemi was a bad player and blah, 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 blah. But here we are in another situation where we have two black women who are rookies in the same way that Jenny and Nicole are. But somehow, some way, the two people who get pushed to the side and are the only options to go in are Big T and Esther. It's such a bad look, and I don't know. I don't have the answers to fixing this. I don't know. I'm at a loss for words, I guess. It's just very tiring, and I'm so sick of seeing this over and over again. I don't want to, you know, harp on it too much. I'm probably also not the best person to speak on it. But I didn't want to, you know, get past this without mentioning it, because it's just it's between that and then the whole thing with Faith. You know, just to see like this one young black woman against a bunch of like aggressive guys that are kind of yelling at her that we don't give a shit that you're trying to sleep, like it's really not the best look, and I don't know why this is still happening.
Yeah, really, completely valid that you brought it up. Like you said, there's definitely people that are more qualified to speak on it. But since we're here, it's insane. I mean, I know that people are going to say, okay, Nicole knows Georgia, she was on the same show as a lot of other people, and people are going to say, but are you telling me that Survival of the Fittest UK is the most connected with all, so Jennifer's not an option? And I know that, again, people are going to bring up, I know that Esther and Big T probably aren't as involved in the reality world knowing before, but losing Faith and Zahida and now Big T all in this episode, it's not fun. It's a bad look, and it's consistently happening on too many shows.
100%. And I don't know what we're going to do to fix it. You know, you and I aren't really going to be able to do a whole lot, but there's got to be something to make this not keep happening, because I mean, this season already wasn't the most diverse in the first place. and to lose four women of color in one episode, how you know, to at least Zahida's you know, was you know, a family related thing, but just okay, well, did we lose? We lost three. I said four.
But, yes.
You know, I'm still grouping Esther in with people who had unfortunate situations in this episode. Mm-hmm. So,
because you know that she's going to be a target soon. And like you said, I really did not like the look of everyone getting in the giant argument with Faith specifically. I mean, I know a lot of people love him as a TV character. I have also fallen there. But Bear is really problematic in and out of the show. And so for me, just see him being involved in something like this is going to raise a red flag for me also, regardless. Like, fair or unfair, it's going to. So I really don't like what can we do about it. I think us talking about it, people tweeting about it, really is like the best that's going to be, because if networks see that it's acknowledged, then they'll maybe start casting better.
I hope so. You know, we can only hope. So at the end of the day, Big T is the one that is selected by the rest of her team to go in. And now the tribunal is going to have to find Big T an opponent to go against. So they're going to ask her, hey, who do you want to go against? What information do you have for us? Big T pretty much says, I think anybody but Jenny. She's fine with anybody else. She's like, I'll take the rest of these bitches down. Just don't give me Jenny, because she's huge and will crush me. So she's fine with Georgia. She's fine with Nicole, whoever it is. And the tribunal makes it very clear, at least to us, we don't give a crap who she wants to go against. But it's nice to know anyway. And, you know, I think Big T mentioned that she'd be fine going against Georgia, who is eventually going to be the pick. So, you know, maybe she did get her way. Either way, did you have any takeaways from how this deliberation went with the three in the tribunal, you know, having this power position?
I definitely think this tribunal played it better than the last, in terms of, you know, was it Wes being like, no, it doesn't mean we're going to do what you say. But like, you know, they said like, OK, we'll take it into consideration. And they were much, you know, gentler with Big T. So that was probably the right way to go. And they still got all the information that Wes did last round. So I also think Big T, you know, she exposed what she had to expose, but it was all evident. And I like that she is confident enough. And as we see, like, she held her own against Georgia, who is probably the second strongest, if not, you know, the most experienced. I do think, as we saw, experience plays a factor. So maybe Georgia is the strongest, considering that she knows how to play these games better. And I'm sad to lose her, definitely.
Yeah, I don't know what Wes was thinking last week. I think I saw a tweet from him where he was saying, like, people are like criticizing what, you know, my call out or what I was saying during that whole thing. But what do you want? Like, boring television and the show gets canceled? And no, of course not. That's what I want to see from Wes. But in terms of, like, you know, like we've talked about over and over again, his position that he was coming in with, and I don't know if he was not feeling well at this point, probably wasn't, to come out so hot like that. Pretty questionable.
And it was unfortunate, especially to see with someone, like, I don't know if it was discussed last week. I don't remember if we did, but Sean had highlighted that, like, basically as soon as he walked in, they said, you're going in, sorry, like, you can't do anything about it. Like, the first night, that's why he felt so awkward. So to see someone who was, like, beaten down already that much, it's kind of unnecessary. But
yeah, that was one of the things that we didn't really talk a lot of. About last week, about it seemed like there was some tension between Sean and Theo. You know, I guess at a certain point in the premiere episode of the season, you can't get everything in, and especially for somebody who's going to end up being the first boot of the season, it's hard to give them like a full, complete story, I guess. But so, yeah, it seemed like from right off the bat, Theo told Sean that there was like no shot, that it was anyone other than him, and Sean didn't really know what to do. You know, he didn't really know this game so well. He just come over from Shipwrecked, whatever the heck Shipwrecked is, didn't really know what was going on. So whatever, you know, for those uninformed, that is what took place last week. And like I said, sad to see Sean go.
Yeah, definitely agree with all of that you just said.
So, yeah, we're going to go back to the house, and this is where we, you know, right in between the deliberation and the elimination, we have some drama going on with Faith. And as we talked about earlier, Faith is going to end up leaving the game, leaving wherever they were filming, and heading back home. the guys were keeping her up at night. She wasn't happy about it, and she went full pots and pans and woke them up at what seemed like 3 or 4:30 in the morning. And that's not the kind of thing that's going to go over well in the challenge house. Very deserved on the guy's end, but of course they don't see it that way. They're like, what is this crazy person doing? So, of course, Faith is completely crazy, and they're all innocent. And I didn't like Kyle either here. And Kyle's like, well, you had to wake me up too? Like, all right, well, why don't you go get your friends, tell them that they were wrong in the first place, and now everybody's even, everybody go back to bed. I don't know why Kyle had to jump in there.
Yeah, and this is the second time, like, Theo was involved last year in the whole taping up Amanda incident. So for, like, not a great spot to be in your second incident with people, like, at night that kind of gets brushed under, especially considering what we've heard in terms of getting in Faith's face and screaming at her and calling her names. Really not a great look from Kyle, from Theo, two seasons in a row. Like we flagged up, Bear has a history of lots of issues. So really felt for Faith here. I was excited to have her back, and sad we lost her this way.
For sure. And just, I guess, to close the book on Faith for this season, she ends up leaving. I don't know when, but, you know, TJ says at the elimination, Faith is gone. Kind of just brushes over it. He doesn't seem happy about it, but he also wasn't, you know, we've seen him go in on people that leave. And of course, Faith wasn't there for him to go in on, but it just kind of got brushed over. So I really have to think that we'll find out more about whatever happened. It seemed like at the time that they were filming, they didn't exactly know which way to put it, which is why TJ, I think, sounded disappointed, but also wasn't like throwing in extra jabs that we ended up seeing. So yeah, Faith is gone, and poor Colin Stone loses two members of his team without even having them lose a single thing. The most Colin thing to happen in a Colin Stone draft.
Yeah, I sad to lose Faith. Don't think we'll see her back. Also sad to lose Zahida, to throw it back to her. I think there is like the smallest chance that we'll see Zahida back. I don't think it's necessarily going to happen. Do you think there's any chance we get Zahida? Or I know you weren't high on her coming into the season.
Yeah, it wasn't super high. I mean, if they need a spot to be filled and they're, you know, just trying to call up somebody who they don't have to pay a whole lot of money to, which, you know, because obviously some of you guys know they get more money for every season they go on. Zahida's not going to be getting a huge paycheck if they end up bringing her back. So I can see it happening. There was a little after show that they post on YouTube every week. And Zahida was there with, I think it was Pauly, Kyle, Kara, Cam, and Georgia. And Zahida was there with them. And they were just like, oh, Zahida, what happened? Is everything okay? And obviously, you know, somebody passed away, and she was happy with her decision to leave. She had to go be with her family. And I think Kyle was saying to her, like, oh, you'll get your shot. Like, it'll come. And she was, you know, she seemed like she was into it. So, pretty much anybody that has been on these shows is waiting for the next call. I'm sure Zahida is no different. Do I need to see her again? No, but maybe if it makes up for this, you know, way she had to go out here, I'm fine with it. No strong feelings either way.
Yeah, fair. I'm a little bit higher on Zahida. I don't need to see her back. Ultimately, I'd rather see someone like DJ Mel come back. But yes. I would not be upset to see it. Someone that I think I found a little more fun than most on her first season, and sad that we at least didn't get an elimination out of her or something for her to go out on a high.
Yeah. And I mean, looking back, I definitely can see where she was like entertaining last season. She was funny in the confessionals, but she was also tied to like big dumb Zach. So, you know, this season she wasn't tied to him. If she actually is somebody that's funny in the confessionals, we might have seen like a brighter side of her. So disappointed that that's not going to be the case. But either way, moving on, we are going to see that while one is leaving, we have Wes coming back into the house. If anybody was afraid that Wes was gone after he got taken away, he's back, flexes for the camera. Everybody is so excited to see him. Not really. Johnny Bananas especially is going to point out, this isn't really going so well for Wes this season so far. He's back, but this is probably not going to be something that turns out well for him.
Yeah, the nice of Bananas to say that a season's going to go poorly for someone when last season really wasn't his either. Out of anyone, I think Jordan was really kind of insufferable here. Just was like a giant dick to Wes.
And that sounds nothing like Jordan.
I know, but like I said, I mean, I had said that I know Jordan is not the best person, but my God, it seemed just so unnecessary at this point where I was like, all right, you guys, he just got home. Like, give him 5 minutes. Wes is like, just calm down. He didn't back up. So, I mean, I know I'm harping on it a little, but my God, Jordan, give it a rest.
Yeah, and I have to imagine he was gone for like more than a couple hours. Like, Wes, he was probably gone for like a day or 2 days. Like, if he was taken to like get like special care, they probably brought him to a hospital, which I doubt was like right around the corner. He was probably gone for like 2-3 days before coming back. Because I think that the way that the filming cycle works is that they're... I don't know if it's like once a week or anything like that. I think maybe they have like two eliminations a week or something. I know that they do like a lot of stuff in the diary room, whatever they call it, on Saturdays. I don't know exactly how that ties into it, but their schedule is a little complicated to understand. So yeah, I think he was gone for a couple of days. Either way, he's back. Team USA all together again, doing the Pledge of Allegiance, which I have not heard since I was in high school. So I am surprised that I remembered all the words too. But yeah, USA is working on deciding who they're going to put in against Big T. A couple people have ideas. Kara has been pushing for most of the episode about how she wants to get Jenny in there. She's like, there's a big player on their side. We have an opportunity to throw her in, see what she's made of. Ashley's on board with that as well, I think, if I'm remembering correctly, because I didn't take a note on that. But it seems like there's people that are pushing for Jenny, but at the end of the day, that's not what we're going to get. So any takeaways from this last little bit of pushing from Team USA?
No, I do think it was interesting. I'm wondering if this was at all a motivation in throwing Idris in last week, or if this is something that we're going to be seeing from now on. I think it's putting those people that are in the middle spot, like a Kyle, or on the US side, like a Tori, or, you know, someone like that, where the other team's not going to target you for being strong. Your team's not going to target you for being weak. So really going to be a benefit for these players if that's how the voting starts to go. I also highlighted Tori being like, oh, well, I think it's really sketchy when people on our team have like some type of friendship on the other team. Like, you weren't on last season. Obviously, you don't have it. So it's like, I understand that people have their friends. But yeah, you don't have to be sketched out. You could say that it is annoying, but I thought it was funny.
For sure. So we're going to go into the elimination here. And we have a unanimous vote, which is a little different from last week, where we had a burn vote thrown in there from Wes. Or was it a burn vote? It wasn't a burn vote. He claimed that it was a burn vote, but he voted for Bear because he wanted to see Bear go in. This week we have all across the board votes for Georgia to go in from Cam, Paulie, and Ashley. So, yeah, Georgia thought that she was looking pretty good coming into the season. Turns out that it's not going to be as easy for her as she expected.
Yeah, I am very unclear on whether or not it was a burn vote. Last week, they definitely did not frame it that way. But this week, it kind of was. I don't know if it was Jordan framing it and he just didn't know whether or not it was a burn vote. But Georgia has to, just like last season, go into the first elimination of the season, and glad to see her stay, but I was very upset to see that we were losing one of these two.
I was terrified. I mean, I was terrified last week when I thought that Bear might be going in the first elimination, because not really confident that he would have won that. I'm pretty confident he would have lost that. And if we lost Bear that early, that's not what I'm looking for in my challenge seasons. And Georgia the same way. I was just praising her earlier for being such a great character on the show. I was not ready to lose her early. I agree with you. It was pretty much a lose-lose here. But at the end of the day, I'm going to take Georgia's side and hope that she stays over somebody that I just met. So I'm happy Georgia was able to win this. This elimination involved, they were both pushing this big heavy cart that was filled with, were those real rocks, or was it, I don't know what was going on.
I think they have to be fake, or at least like there's a piece of wood that is, you know, 5/6 of the way up with a couple things on top. So yeah, they were pushing it around way too easily for those to have been real rocks.
Yeah.
It's not that I wanted to. There was the brief second in my mind where I was like, if Big T goes home now, she's never coming back. Like, being blunt, the 0.1% chance. Whereas like, Georgia will come back, but no, I'm not willing to lose Georgia. It's not worth it. Big T was a fun character. She held her own. I mean, it was what, an hour and 34 minutes plus that this elimination went. Very impressed in the pouring rain. Didn't tire out against one of the strongest women on her team. But it's the way it goes. Rookies gotta overcome a few things in the beginning.
Yeah, they talk a lot about how, you know, in every season of the challenge, rookies have to earn their stripes. A lot of rookies end up going home early. How many times can we say Cara Maria was a first boot on her first season? She was the first one out and ended up to become Cara Maria Sorbello of modern time. So, you know, it's not always, you know, the end of the world if that ends up happening to you. Look at Rogan. He's back here with a second shot. So we could see Big T again in the future. I have no idea what the heck was going on with the casting for the rookies this season, just because it didn't seem to make a whole lot of sense. Like, it wasn't everybody from X on the Beach. Obviously, you know, Nicole is, but it seemed like the first time that they did the UK casting, they pulled from shows like X on the Beach, Big Brother, whatever it was. And now we're going into like Shipwreck, Survival of the Fittest. So I don't know if they were just like scrambling last minute for people and ended up with them. I don't think that any of these are particularly bad choices. It just, like I said, these shows, I've not that I live in the UK, I've just never heard of them. I mean, have you heard of them, Dom, living in the UK still to this day?
No, I don't watch any shows except for Survivor, so I really would not. But I was just, I don't mind where they're pulling from. I want them to get like the best characters regardless of where they come from. But I mean, even doing my research, I still have no idea what show Esther came from. So it's throwing me off. The thing is, going early as a rookie back then, there was a much smaller casting pool in where they were only pulling from Real World and Road Rules. So it's not the end of the world, but I do feel like if they are going to continue pulling from basically any show in the world, whether it be reality or scripted in the case of Alon last season, I don't know that rookies are so safe when they come home early in expecting a, you know, even a fair shake at a second chance.
Yeah, I mean, I did not think for 1 second with is it Alon? I kept calling him Alan. Whatever that pronunciation is, with him going home first, I was never for a second like, oh, I hope this guy gets a second shot. We heard stories about how he like begged his agent or whatever to contact the challenge and get him on the show, and this was like a dream of his. And you know, sorry, dude, but I wasn't really, you know, I wasn't like, oh my god, this guy seems like great television. He seems like such a strong competitor.
No, that specific case.
Right. So well, no, but it's
saying like it's that's just like a
yeah, it's, you know, obviously with this guy, but there's plenty of rookies that come on where it's like, all right, well, we didn't really need to do this once, let alone twice, whatever. So I don't know. Maybe we'll see Big T in the future. I don't know if, you know, Shipwrecked has more cast members in the dock that are going to be showing up on season 35. We'll have to see about that. But yeah, Georgia pulls through, and we're not really going to get a whole lot of time wasted here. We're going to get Georgia's decision right away, not getting it the next episode like we did last week. Georgia is going to stick with Team UK. Shocking nobody. All of her friends are over there. Nicole's over there. And she just got thrown in by Team US. You have to think that anybody who switches teams is going to be somebody who gets thrown in by their own team, right? Like, that's the only way that somebody is reasonably going to switch teams, unless we get like really far down the line, or at least a couple weeks down the line, and UK keeps losing and somebody just wants to start winning. I don't know.
Yeah. So I was thinking about this a lot, and Kyle, I was surprised to say like, oh, I would have been flipping. So I know that Kyle has a lot of allies over there. Obviously CT has a lot of allies. So whether he's thrown in by his team or the opposing team, I could see either of them really at least debating it. The other concern I really do have now is, in the event this actually does go down to a team final, seeing especially like the late elimination winners being like, okay, Team UK has no chance. I am going to win an elimination. And even if I have to throw myself into one against a weaker opponent so that I can move over to the US team and split that pot.
Mm-hmm.
So a little worried about that.
Yeah, I do think that we're going to be at least riding with these teams for the majority of the season. Hard to say if they're going to split at the end. You know, we were talking about that last week and I didn't really have a firm take either way. So as long as they're in these teams, I can see one or two people trying to be, you know, great television, and Jordan, when he pulls the all three cards at once, making a big move and saying like, this is going to be my moment. Nobody else is doing it, so I'll switch teams and I'll take that camera time for the rest of you guys. Like, don't worry about it. I'll handle that one. So I don't know who it's going to be, but whoever's looking to make a splash will probably get that taken care of. So that's about it for this episode. With you know, we're going to wrap up that elimination. We get the preview for next time, which looks a little interesting. TJ with a quote of "I hate cheaters" or something like that. It sounds like something is something fishy is going down next week.
It's weird because, I mean, like we talked about this week, like the U.S. team finds a hack that is still technically within the rules. So I'm curious how far outside of those bounds someone does go in order to bring the wrath of TJ on them.
Right. And I mean, TJ's a whole different kind of TJ this season. I tweeted this out, got like no responses, but TJ's been hatless all season. I don't know if that's like maybe he's been that way for a couple seasons that I'm not noticing. I'm pretty sure he's always got a hat on his head. And both episodes so far this season, TJ has been hatless. I don't know what he's going for, if he's just trying something new or what, but it's different and I don't know what to make of it.
Yeah, definitely feel like we get TJ with the hat, at least at the main challenges, occasionally without at the eliminations. But who knows what TJ's going to bring this season?
I have absolutely no idea. But you know what? He's just as much of somebody that I keep an eye on as we do with the players. He's always good for at least later in the season when he starts picking on them during trivia and during whatever it is. TJ's always a great time. So, yeah, like I said, that's about it for the episode. I think I covered most of the tweets that I had flagged up in regards to things that were going on. So I don't really have a whole lot left there. We didn't really get into the draft last week, just in terms of a little bit of an update, if anybody cares. If you are new to the Challenge podcast that we're doing here, we're new to it as well, in a way, but we do a draft at the beginning of every season alongside Colin, who actually owns this podcast, along with Dom, but Dom's never here, and Haley Strong. So that was a couple of months ago, like right when they started filming. So Colin, as I mentioned a little bit earlier, lost two players this week. He lost Faith and Zahida, but still holding pretty strong with 38 points, which is putting him in second place at the moment. I am currently in a tie with Haley Strong for the lead. We both have 40 points, so not too far ahead of Colin. A little bit of a controversy came up over the past 24 hours as we were trying to decide if one of our older rules in the draft was going to be stuck to. We gave a penalty points, or we took away points from Colin's team for Faith, and Faith's quit this week, which was a rule that we put in place like last season, but it didn't come into play, so I didn't even put it on the board this season. Completely forgot about it, but it came into play now, and by a unanimous vote, Faith lost 3 points, which put Colin back in second place. And then down at the bottom, the guy who's used to being in first place until last year, Brian Scally, you were 32 points.
This is really unfamiliar territory for me. I do not like it. I am going to need Team UK to start winning some challenges. When we did the draft, I did not know 100% what the full format was going to be. I remember we were trying to find that out and did not show up. I feel good about my individual players, but if this does go individual at some point, hopefully sooner than later for me, but I am not thrilled with having 6 out of 8 team of my team being from Team UK.
Yes. So I mentioned this to you off air, but yeah, if you you know, if the UK team wins, you are going to kill it, you know, take all the points from that week. If the US team wins, not so much, as you only have, what is it? It's Jordan and Ashley.
I need Ashley to stick around too, which is also a concern.
Hey, so she's not looking terrible so far.
Definitely. I do think that Ashley falls into, I think losing Faith probably hurts her a little bit because it's probably someone that would have been voted in before her. But I think Ashley does benefit, like I said, from being kind of a middle to high tier player, where the other team's not going to vote her in for being too strong, and her own team probably isn't going to look at her at least as a weak player, hopefully not as someone that they can't trust too much. So more enthusiastic for Ashley after seeing that strategy come into play.
Yeah, and I just love Ashley so much. So I just have to hope that she does well, even though she's on your team and would be racking you up points if she sticks
around.
Agreed.
Especially if we're not getting Amanda back anytime soon, then I need Ashley to be on, you know, many, many, many more seasons.
Need Ashley. 100% agree. Still can't believe, looking at this board, that I ended up with CT and Leroy as my last two picks. I don't know how you guys gave me that gift, but I appreciate it more than I can ever tell you. You know, the first four people that are wiped off the board are the last two picks. Or they were in the last two rounds. They were the last two picks on Colin and Haley's team. So I just feel so grateful that my last two picks are CT and Leroy, and I don't hate it.
Yeah, that Leroy pick, if we had known the format of the season, I have a suspicion that any late round Team USA players would have gone higher. Definitely would have taken Leroy over Nicole. So I don't know what I was doing there.
For sure.
But in a must win, you know, solo, if it goes solo at any point, that's where I didn't have faith in Leroy. So sad to have lost out on these early points, at least.
Yeah. And looking around at the rest of the board, looking at some players that we haven't really touched on because there wasn't really a whole lot going on with them this week. It's been pretty quiet on the Turbo end, on your boy Turbo. I don't know what's going on there. I mean, it's, you know, probably a good thing that he's not too involved in all the drama that's going on. But it's been pretty quiet from last season's champ.
Yeah, I mean, like we even said last season, Turbo was near the bottom of the confessional count, and I actually have that pulled up, which I think is a little bit interesting. But Turbo's an easy sell. As soon as you see him, you know exactly what he's all about, so you don't have to give him a ton of confessionals. And I think that I'm hoping that he's in it for the long haul, so you don't need to, you know, establish him so early. He'll get him all later on, which was what happened last season. So Turbo is sitting at 5 confessionals for the season, where on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have number one with a bullet, not even close to anyone. Georgia has 21 confessionals so far.
I don't even know if I would have guessed that. I was thinking that you were going to say Bear. I feel like Bear has been pretty dominant on the screen time. Is he like up there with her or close?
Tied for second place with 11 confessionals. And I wouldn't have guessed one of these four is Bear, Tori, both good confessionalists, Wes, big character, good confessionalist, and then Bananas, who typically would expect, but I feel like we've heard absolutely nothing from.
Bananas is tied with those guys. That's what you're telling me? That's crazy. I literally said last week, I feel like we haven't heard anything from him. And then this week we got a couple of, bashing Wes comments, but that's not out of the usual or out of the ordinary. So I'm surprised to see that Bananas is already that high up.
Very surprising. And credit to friend of the podcast, Will from America, using his confessional counts on Reddit right now. But that's to see that Georgia is almost double the next four players on the board is absolutely wild.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And then, I mean, in terms of like the Bananas thing that we're talking about, on the other side of that, can you tell me what Cara Maria is up to? Is she even like in the conversation?
Yeah, she's Cara is, you know, tied for, what would it be, 6th with Cara, CT, D, and Idris, surprisingly, at 10.
Okay, yeah, that's low. I mean, this isn't like, you know, there hasn't been a whole lot going on with her, but surprised at how little she's been involved. Or just, because you'd think that, like I said about how her and Pauly should be such a big target, people are letting Cara make it to all the finals, yet she's not in. She's just not involved in anything going on. She's not talking on the confessionals because, I mean, we don't go to her for like the funny entertainment stuff. We go to her for like, all right, what's going on with the Cara Maria story right now? And there's just nothing going on.
Yeah, I actually think that this is actually a great sign for Cara and Pauly not to be flagged up so early. I think they're doing exactly what they should be doing. I like the alliance with Cam. I hope they pull in Ashley, people like that, because I don't think that they're ever going to be too high up on Jordan's board, because I think he is inevitably going to make a side. You know, he wants his own side. He's not following someone else's. And I don't think Jordan and Cara have ever been particularly close, unless I'm misremembering. So I like what I'm seeing from them so far. I mean, the only people down towards, we have a lot of people with like 3-4 confessionals, Nani and Theo only having 3 each, who really have not seen on the screen at all.
Yeah. And I mean, if anybody doesn't really remember from the draft, Cara was a 3rd round pick. She went 9th overall. Colin ended up scooping her up right before she could have come back to me, which I don't even think I would have picked her because Pauly was available. But then again, if he didn't pick her, I think he would have picked Pauly, but he wasn't going to do that. Cara fell. There was eight people that got picked ahead of her. So we were a little shaky on how we felt about her going into the season. So also kind of TBD to see where that ends up going. But quiet so far. Anything else that you have to bring up before we wrap up here?
No, I feel good about the season. Like we've said, we're a little watching to see Team UK win one, bring our faith back in them. But I'm still enthusiastic. I'm like seeing the team dynamic play out, especially Team US really warring against each other. Because if we're assuming that it might go solo at some point, they're 1,000% assuming that the format is going to change. So they're already jockeying for position for when that does happen.
100%. For those who want to peek behind the scenes, generally what ends up happening is that we'll finish recording, and then in about 12 hours, Scally or I will text each other and say, I can't believe we forgot to talk about this. So when that does inevitably happen, I'm sure we will get back to it next week and inform you guys on whatever we were thinking about. But until then, that's a wrap on our debut episode without mom or dad around to hold our hands. So hopefully that went well. Hopefully this all recorded. Hopefully you guys are able to listen to it and you enjoy it, and you know, should be a fun season if it does actually get recorded for these podcasts, because like I said, I'm terrified that I don't know what I'm doing, but we're doing our best here. So Scally, where can people check you out on social media?
All right, I am on Twitter at Brian_Scally, Brian with an I, Brian_Scally, Scally.
I can only hope that people, that there's at least one person listening to this that don't know our social media handles and will follow us from here. And, you know, we didn't bring in just from telling them about this podcast. But I am on Twitter at Matt Liguori. I'll spell it out as well. MattLiguori. You can follow us on Twitter for our challenge tweets and takes and Big Brother stuff going on still. We've got about an hour in real time until the double eviction, so I'm very excited for that. Follow Mom and Dad on Twitter at Colin Stone, at Dom HRV. I don't know if I have to do that every week, but I probably should. So until next time, take care, everybody.